Hey, everybody. Today, I wanted to talk a little bit about a new service we're going to be offering at my group that if you follow along on social media, on TikTok or on Instagram, you probably already know that at some point last year, I started talking about horses and equine therapy, not really thinking that was something we were necessarily going to get into. I've always known about it and have been exposed to horses from the time I was little, but I'm not a horse girl. I didn't grow up taking lessons or anything like that. I grew up in Texas, so horses are just a part of the culture in the same way that hockey is a part of the culture here in Canada, where we moved back to. I'm Canadian. I was born here, and then we moved down south and stayed there. My entire childhood was down in Texas. And came back up here when I was about 14. So it's definitely in my bones to know and appreciate the feeling that you have when you're around a horse. And I shared a little bit recently on a blog post that shares a little bit of the backstory about why suddenly this is something that has clicked for me as a really important thing that we could potentially offer people in our community who are physically close enough to us to come out to see us. Here's a funny picture of me that I shared. I don't even know how old I am in this picture, like 8 or 9 years old, bareback and unsupervised in the 80s, on a horse. And I don't remember this lovely horse's name, but I do have a memory of going riding occasionally with my parents. And one of the last times I rode, I always say sometimes I was thrown, but the truth is I wasn't thrown off of the horse. I fell off the horse because I let go. And I let go because I didn't know what to do when my retired thoroughbred Bandit, I have loving memories of Bandit, took off in a full run after another horse that started running. And Bandit, knowing what I know now, clearly knew I didn't know what I was doing. And it didn't take long for me to freak out, throw my hands up in the air and fly off and land on my back. And I'm lucky I only had the wind knocked out of me for a little bit. But I was never, ever afraid. I was always willing to get back up. And I think I instinctively knew it wasn't the horse's fault. And I'm always amazed at that understanding of accountability. Like, it's easy to blame an animal if you get hurt or they do something you don't want them to do. And I never did, but I'm always willing to blame people, not my clients, obviously, but people in my personal life, if I get hurt, as many of us are. I packed that memory away and didn't really think too much of it until many years later in 2014 at a corporate event in my former life. We had the opportunity to go out to Monty Roberts' Flag Is Up Farms in the Santa Ynez Valley in California, which is just north, I believe, of Montecito, the Santa Barbara area. Oh, it's so beautiful. If you've never been there, that's exactly where you should go in California. I don't know why people leave a place like that. It's funny. I think sometimes we say up in Toronto, like, why would you live someplace when the risks of earthquakes and floods and fires is so great? And then you visit Santa Barbara and stand on the beach and watch the waves roll in and you're like, oh, this is why it makes perfect sense. Anyway, so Monty Roberts is like the original horse whisperer. He was one of the pioneers of nonviolent training methods of starting rather than breaking a horse, of being committed to understanding a horse and their behavior and what they need from us as humans in order to have a relationship. I got to watch, along with, I don't know, 100 of my colleagues probably at the time, Monty in a round arena start a horse that was around a yearling and have this horse basically go from being frightened and apprehensive and wary of Monty to completely trusting and in unison. And Monty calls this join up. And that's actually a really nice way to describe it. The process of what happens when a horse decides you're trustworthy. This is important because horses don't speak. So, you know, when we're dating, when we're talking to people, when we're in relationships, we're in a marriage, we're often trying to get people to trust us and we're looking for reasons to trust other people. And we use a lot of words. And sometimes those ahas that we need in order to have emotional breakthroughs, they're not in our higher thinking brain where the words are processed. They're actually buried in our emotional brain. It's something to be able to put away your higher thinking brain to tap into your emotional processing, to have the shift that you are looking for that can sometimes feel so elusive in psychotherapy that for the most part is pretty cognitive. There's a lot of therapists that get quite somatic, meaning quite into your physiological response and your body response. And I think the marriage of the higher thinking and the somatic response that we like to refer to as relational neurobiology in my practice. I'm sure people refer to that elsewhere as well. We just happen to really like that. So anyway, back to me. I started taking riding lessons last spring because I have a teenager that's 15 now, so 14, just turned 14 last spring. And as moms of teenage boys know, they become these aliens after puberty, and they do come back to you, moms, just so you know. But it can be really disconcerting that you have all of a sudden gone from feeling quite emotionally connected to your boy, and then they're starting to become the man they're going to be. And sometimes they feel like complete strangers. And it can be really upsetting if you don't know that the normal process and a healthy process. But one of the things that becomes important is finding new things to do together that are new for both of you, new things to learn. So I had this bright idea that my son and I were going to take riding lessons together because we live in Caledon. We live in an area of the province that we're surrounded by farmland and horses and working properties and homesteaders. And so why not try and take advantage of that and learn a little bit about it? So we did. And from literally the first 30 minutes I set foot on this property, I felt this visceral alignment with all that is right about the world. And as somebody who has late diagnosed ADHD, that phenomenon of your mind never turns off, I'm quite friendly with all the different parts of my mind. So while it doesn't distress me as much, it's still there. And the one thing that I noticed right away was from the minute I get there to the minute I leave, I'm 1,000% present. I'm never in any other back part of my head. In fact, from a neuroscience, for all the neuroscience nerds out there, point of view, I think being on the ranch and being with horses is the one time my default mode network actually shuts off when it's supposed to. And my task positive network turns on, and I'm completely present and at peace and in harmony with this like 1,000-pound creature, this majestic creature, many of them actually, that have decided they trust me, I think, because I think I've demonstrated to them I'm not a threat. Don't forget, humans are natural predators to horses, right? So they're afraid of us. I think more than we could ever be afraid of them when you understand how their wiring actually works, right? They're mammals just like we are. They're tuned into our emotions and our nonverbal signals, and they read us, and they have much stronger senses of doing that, right? Because that's all they have. They don't have language. They attune to us. They figure out who we are, what we're doing there, how nervous we are based on how fast our pulse rates are going. They pick up all of these processes. And humans do that too. We're just, I think, much less aware of it through a process called neuroception. When you engage in equine therapy, you're not riding. You're doing groundwork. You're moving around this beautiful animal. You're figuring out how to monitor your body and your physiological responses, how to speak another language in effect so that you can let this animal know that you're not going to hurt them, because that's the thing they're most concerned about. We have these automatic responses. You know, you guys have heard about fight or flight. Horses are flight animals. They're peaceful animals. They're herbivores. They don't hurt other animals unless they were, I imagine, in a life or death situation or in a natural fighting for dominance situation. And how you do that without language starts to become part of physiological processing and healing that leads to some pretty incredible psychological. I'm always trying to figure out, how do I spend as much time with horses and not actually have to buy a horse? So I'm just joking. No, I'm not. Yeah, I am. When I met the owners of the ranch that I go ride at, I felt an immediate connection to them. And everything they're about, from their values and their mission to how they interact with each other, to how they treat their horses, to how they interact with their customers, is exactly aligned to values that I have and that are so pro mental health and wellness that it's such a natural fit. I started looking more and more into equine-assisted psychotherapy, finding out what we need and what kind of training we need to have. And this week, I think this week or next week, I will be completing my horsemanship leadership certification, which I'm really proud to have undertaken and completed, so that we can offer equine-assisted psychotherapy to the community. And there's incredible data for this in post-traumatic stress disorder with veterans and first responders, medics, firefighters, cops, in families and kids and adults with ADHD, hello, managing anxieties in people with autism, autistic people, managing mood disorders, grief. And the more time I spent, so halfway through the summer, my husband also joined us. And the family time going on these rides was also incredible, right? So I envision families and couples coming out for some pretty cool experiences and learning about how we communicate with each other and how we can do things differently. So I just wanted to share a little bit about that, share a little bit about my experience. So I did put this together in a blog post, and I actually found a clip on YouTube of Monty Roberts doing his thing in the round arena with starting a yearling. And so it's linked in the article, which is on our blog, digalittledeeper.ca. I'll link it in the show notes to just this quick episode, but it's an incredibly moving and stunning thing to watch. So for anybody that is interested in a non-talking therapeutic experience to be in union, communion, join up with an incredibly beautiful animal and to have a shifting experience, I encourage you to check it out. Learn a little bit about it. We've got loads of information now on our website about the science, about the programs we're going to offer, which are starting this spring. So if you are interested, hit us up and let us know. Talk to you later.